Greetings and welcome to episode 164 of By the Balls. John Davidson here with you, and we've got a very special guest on the line, Sheffield Eagles player Bailey Liu. Bailey, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
No problem at all. I'll just start off a pretty exciting and close win over Newcastle Thunder on the weekend for yourself and the Eagles.
Second half, so yeah, that's never good, but at least we got the win.
Yeah, I mean it's been a great season so far for Sheffield. You guys are, I think you're up to second now.
Yeah, we've got a good squad. Obviously, you know, Tubbs has brought in quite a few new players that won't block, so our depth is quite good. And when one player's out, you know, we've got another player just as good, so that's probably what, you know, the difference is from last year. Probably didn't have that depth last year.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's been really good, and the boys are really good as well, so it makes it even better.
And how did you find the Summer Bash as an event there at York?
Yeah, well, it was good. Like, the crowd probably wasn't the best. There wasn't really many people there, but I probably preferred last season's one at Headingley, but no, it's good. It's like a good concept. I think it's needed a bit more, probably promoted a bit more.
Yep.
To get more people watching. So, other than that, yeah, it's really good.
And on the Eagles, I mean, the confidence must be building now, considering how well the team's been going. I mean, do you think is promotion we're getting talked about there? Do you think you guys can yeah?
Well, I think like just shows like last few weeks ago when we played Fev, we just lost to them, so we weren't scared of them or anything. So we know that if we do the same, we could probably beat them. They probably had a few players to come back as well, but yeah, we know we can match it against them. But definitely, yeah, that's what we're aiming for.
Yeah, I mean, it has been a great season for the club so far, and getting back to Super League after such a long time would be huge for Sheffield.
Yeah, 100%. That's the goal for the club. So I think everyone's trying to work towards that. And like, you know, being back at home, having a home, it's only going to get better, isn't it? So
yep.
That helps as well. So yeah, it's a good club to be at the moment.
And tell us a little bit about your background. You're born in Christchurch in New Zealand, but grew up in Brisbane.
I grew up in quite a few places, to be honest.
Yep.
But yeah, I was born in Christchurch. My mum's from Auckland in New Zealand, and then went to school in Auckland, and then New South Wales as well, country New South Wales, and then Brisbane as well. So yeah, been all over the place, but now.
And you've got a bit of obviously with the dual nationality, but also kind of mixed heritage there. I think a bit of Scottish and a bit of Samoan as well.
Yeah. So yeah, my grandmother, she was born in Scotland, and I think she left it when she was about 16.
Mm-hmm.
To New Zealand. So yeah, so that's how I was eligible to play for Scotland, and my dad's Samoan. Quite a few, a bit of a mix there.
No, excellent. And obviously, starting off in Auckland and then in New South Wales and then Queensland, how did you first kind of get into rugby, I guess, as a kid?
he coached me when I was younger, and then yeah, I just found it more, you know, like suitable to myself. Just wanted to stick at it. So it's been good.
And how did you kind of get your start in the professional game, or you know, when you kind of thought, oh, I could play, you know, I could make this as a career?
Yeah, symptoms. Like, I went to, when I finished school, I went to a boarding school in New Zealand, one of the New Zealand's top rugby schools, Auckland Grammar.
Yeah.
And, yeah, all my friends, they were getting signed, you know, Super Rugby, the NRL. And I kind of didn't really go through that. So when I left school, I got an opportunity to train at the Warriors, like for their 20s at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there just wasn't really many opportunities there. So then I went back to Queensland, and I was fortunate enough to be able to play in the Queensland Cup, which is better than 20s anyway. So that's pretty much how I started. But I kind of like took the long route to, you know, to professional really.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I kind of hit a crossroads when I was young. Kind of, you know, just feeling like I wasn't really getting anywhere, and that's the opportunity came over, you know, to come over to the UK. You know, to play. So, yeah, it's been good so far.
Yeah, how long were you at the Capras for in the Queensland Cup?
I was there for 2 seasons.
Yep.
And then, obviously I was young, so I probably didn't get too many games, but it was a good experience, obviously, playing, you know, you're playing NRL boys week in, week out, you know, training with them and training with that kind of level, so that kind of really helped me to, yeah, so, you know, obviously playing against men. So, yeah, that's kind of really helped me.
And
but then, so, yeah, it's a good experience.
And how did the... you ended up in West Wales in League One in 2020. How did that come about?
Yeah, so... I was actually supposed to go to France before coming to the UK, so... there's a few issues with my visa, and my coach at the Capras at the time, he said, oh, well, he was coaching the West Wales Raiders. He came over a year before, and then he said, oh, well, mate, if you're going to come over here, might as well come here and just use it as a stepping stone to, you know, play in England. And yeah, so I went there just to kind of get myself into the English game. It wasn't really good. Obviously, you know, the club struggles, and then, but yeah, grateful that I got that opportunity and that made me come up here. So, yeah, my Capras coach, Kim Williams, got me over.
Yeah. And yeah. Obviously, there at West Wales, yeah, I mean, I think they were, obviously, the club sort of doesn't exist anymore, and they did struggle on the field. They weren't really winning many games. That must have been like a hard intro to you know, the English game of rugby league.
Yeah, like obviously because you know, like back home, everything's so professional, and you know, you have even at local clubs you have 5 grades, and I didn't really know much about. I didn't know anything because it happened so fast. Like to come over there and. There was like hardly any players turning up to training, and I wasn't really used to it. So it was tough, but I only ended up playing, I think it was like 2 games.
Yep.
And then, yeah, they struggled because obviously, you know, the Welsh, they're into the rugby union, so there's not really many, like, it's not much interest there. It's hard to get players to come down.
Yep.
Especially when you're getting beat every week by 60 points.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, but like I said, I feel grateful I got that opportunity because that obviously led me to come up there.
And that when you moved there, that was when the coronavirus hit as well, wasn't it, in 2020?
Yeah. So I think the day that I got there, the next day we played a game. I can't remember who it was. And then the week after I played, I think, a proper League One game. And then the next day after that was like lockdown. So it was kind of like, oh, do I go home or... decided to wait it out, and luckily Dewsbury said get up here before the season starts again, so I came up here, and then the season didn't end up starting again, so I just signed for them for the next year, and yeah, played there, so it worked out in the end.
That must have been really tough, kind of coming into a foreign country, you know, you're there to play footy, and then suddenly, yeah, massive lockdowns, and yeah, global pandemic.
Each other, which was alright, but it was just more the like unknown, like you don't know what's happening, what's going to happen, it's like, do you go home or you stay? It's like, because I think back home it wasn't as bad as well.
Yeah.
So that's why we wanted to go home, because, you know, we just want to have normal life again. But, you know, kind of glad we stuck at it.
Yeah, no, I can remember that period soon. You know, people in Australia at the beach, and everyone was out and about. They locked the borders. They were having a good time for a while.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I was jealous, but it all worked out in the end.
Yeah, definitely. Well, how was the... You had a year there, as you said, at Dewsbury Rams. How was that in 2021? How did you find that season?
Yeah. Felt like, oh, we didn't play last season, and now we're finally playing, and I just keep getting injured. I got to the point where actually they told me that I can't play ever again, because how serious they were. And
right.
I think one of them, I had like a bleed on my brain as well, and it came to the point where I had to actually sign a form to say that, you know, I want to play, because obviously I felt good. I didn't feel any symptoms or anything like that, so I felt really good. But yeah, it was just lucky that I kind of just kept at it and didn't give up, really.
Yeah, how did you recover, I guess, from that? That sounds really scary. Yeah, how did you, was it a long time off that you had to sort of heal your brain, or?
Yeah, so, like, I think the first time I done it, I had like about 8 weeks off, and then I think I played like 3 games, and then I'd done another one, and then I had like another 7 weeks off, and then like another 5 games, and then I had another 8 weeks off, I think it was. So I missed pretty much the whole season. I only played like 10 games. But yeah, like I said, I wouldn't have played if I didn't feel, you know, I wouldn't have continued if I felt, you know, there was something wrong. But I honestly felt normal, so that's why I decided to keep playing. And Two of them were just accident, you know, it happens.
Yep.
And then, you know, the first one was just a bit of technique stuff, but yeah, other than that, I just thought, well, it's only really happened once because of some, you know, bad technique. But so yeah, that was my decision to keep playing.
And I guess a couple of years on, how have you? Yeah, you still, your body's good. You're feeling good, and you haven't had any issues since.
Yeah, honestly, I put it down just to go into Sheffield, because obviously, you know, Dewsbury didn't really want to sign me again because they were worried that, you know, something bad could happen. And then when I talked to Tubbs, he said there's nothing wrong. It's just your technique, which can be fixed, and you know, not just don't tackle with your head, really. So yeah, that was pretty much what just changed. And then, like I said, I really think the Sheffield, because that's why, you know, I'm a lot better than I was back then.
Yeah, and as I said, it seems like you're really loving your time with the Eagles and thriving there.
Yeah, well, I've got a few boys from back home that really help me enjoy footy, but also just enjoy living here as well. They're, you know, like players like Jesse and QLT. Pretty much, took me under their wing and really helped me to kind of open up and, just be comfortable here. Because it is a big change, like, living away from home, and everything's different. Everyone talks different. Loving it at Sheffield.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't really have two better sort of veteran players who've had amazing careers and pretty much done it all than QLT and Jesse Semenyiwa.
Yeah, honestly, they're like big brothers. Like, they tell me when I play crap, you know. But it's not more what they do like for rugby. It's everything they do after, you know. Their missus cook me tea, you know what I mean. Like, they look after you, because my missus is back home at the moment. So it's more for what they do off the field. They, you know, they look after me, and they, you know, invite me to all their family dinners and stuff like that. So it's really nice.
Yeah, no, that's excellent. And looking ahead at next year, are you? Is it a 2-year deal you're on? Are you signed for Sheffield for next year, or you're looking at options for?
Yeah, just looking at options. Obviously, you know, when I came to the UK, Tripoli. And, yeah, it makes it a little bit tough because I'm a quota player. So, you know, you're competing with guys that are coming over from the NRL. But, so that's the number one goal. But otherwise, yeah, you know, I'm currently talking to Sheffield at the moment, seeing what we can do if there's no options at, you know, in the Super League. So, yeah, that's the plan. Hopefully, if not, then, yeah, definitely stay at Sheffield.
Yeah. And we talked about your heritage before, but yeah, you obviously ended up playing for Scotland in the World Cup just last year. How was that experience?
Yeah, it was unreal. It was just kind of gave you know, obviously I've been part time, Queensland Cup's part time, but you know, I got insight into you know what, you know, full time's like, because obviously you're in the camp for 6 weeks, and but I think that was, apart from playing the games, obviously that was the more enjoyable thing. Like the NRL boys that came over, I learn a lot off them. You know, things that they do off the field, like looking after themselves and that, like, stuff like that. So yeah, it was life changing, really, because you learn a lot from those kind of experiences.
Yeah, I mean, you had that very tough game. I was there watching it in Coventry against the Kangaroos as well. That was. Yeah, that would have been, you know, some moment lining up against the best players in the world.
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, like playing championship and then playing against, you know, boys that play NRL week in, week out, and playing against boys that just played, you know, NRL grand final a week, you know, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks before that, yeah, it was just a good experience. So, yeah, it was an eye-opener, that's for sure.
It was obviously a hard tournament for Scotland, but I think that last game against Fiji, you guys showed, you know, some real ticker, a lot of heart. It was, you know, great performance in particular, yeah, from Scotland.
I think you know, a lot of people probably wrote us off because, you know, Scotland are usually a little bit better than what we were. So I think there was, you know, that last game there, we just kind of went all out and we didn't really care about anything. We just wanted to, you know, put a bit of pride back in the jersey. And I felt like, yeah, we nearly won that game, but obviously, you know, Fiji are a good team, and yeah, it's unlucky at the end there.
Yeah, well, there's been obviously a lot of change recently, the last couple of weeks, with the World Cup in France getting moved, and well, getting cancelled basically, and the European Championships getting cancelled. I mean, have you got any sort of take on those things? Obviously, I'm guessing you probably would have liked to have been playing for Scotland in the European Championships at the end of the year.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I don't know. As a player, it is what it is. You can't really.
Yep.
You can't really complain, can you? But yeah, hopefully, definitely looking forward to wherever the World Cup is. Hopefully, you know, that's a goal to make that squad again. So yeah, that's pretty much what, you know, one of my main focuses. So yeah, hopefully, I can be a part of that.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I'm still young enough.
Yeah. tell us about your work with No Limits.
Yeah. So when I went to the Capras, so when I left school, I worked as a labourer, just, you know, in different jobs, you know, digging holes and all that kind of stuff. And when I went to the Capras, I was doing it, but I was doing it in 40 degree heat. And I went to my coach, Kim Williams, at the time. I said, I'm over this. I want something different. And the club actually got me a job working at a school called Rockhampton Special School with, you know, to people with disabilities, kids with disabilities. So I went there, and that's how I pretty much fell in love with the, you know, job supporting people with disabilities. And I ended up getting a lot of my teammates work, and the company and the boys that just worked really well, and the people that we support. And, you know, that kind of idea stuck with me. And then, obviously, when I came here to the UK, I was working as a support worker. And then last year, I got injured. I done my shoulder, head surgery, and I just thought, you know, I'm going to start my business and use that kind of concept. So, yeah, the concept of No Limits is athletes as support workers. So we have part-time athletes that are, yeah, workers, support workers, that are supporting people with disabilities out in the community.
And how's it going? I mean, it's a great concept. It's a great idea. How's it going? The business.
Yeah, no, it's kind of taken last July, and yeah, it was quite steady for a while there, but then as soon as I started getting people on board, it's kind of just taken off this year. So we've got Corey Aston working. He's actually going to be running Sheffield. We're opening up in Sheffield area soon. We've got Mitch Clark working for us, Amy Hardcastle. So yeah, we've got a few sports people on at the moment. We're still quite small, but we're definitely growing. Tom Holmes from Bradford Bulls coming on soon. So yeah, so it's been really good.
No, that's fantastic. And in terms of, I guess, the service, it's sort of like one-to-one care and support work. Yeah. Is it mainly sort of teenagers or young adults with learning disabilities?
Yeah, so it's teenagers and adults. So I think the oldest service user we have is 40, and the youngest is about 12. So yeah, we work with all different age ranges. But anyone really with a learning disability. So yeah, we just kind of like want to bring something young, youthful. And I found like a lot of companies that I work for in the UK, that this is my opinion, but they're quite outdated, and I just wanted to bring something different. And part-time players, they have a lot of time, so it kind of works well.
Yeah, and I imagine particularly for some of the clients that you have who might be rugby fans, it'd be a dream come true to to get access and interactions with these athletes and players.
Yeah, well, I think that's one thing that's so good about it, is it just through sport you have there's so many people involved in sport. It's not just sports people, people that support clubs, We've got a few service users that come down to the Sheffield Eagles Learning Disability Rugby League team.
Yep.
And it's, even like, that might be nothing to us, but it changes their life, because they're doing something that never thought they could probably do, and giving them experiences. So yeah, that's why sport's so powerful, because there's so many people involved, and it can open a lot of doors for a lot of people.
Yep.
And that's what we kind of try to use sport to drive it, really.
Yeah, I mean, you must get a real kick out of helping others and seeing them sort of grow and thrive.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much what we're all about, isn't it? Like, it's all about giving someone with a learning disability the best life that they possibly can have, and opening them up to a lot of different things that they probably don't get, they get because of their disability. So
yeah,
we want to kind of be like that door to for them to open and do whatever they want to do really in their life, just as we would. So yeah, it's really good. We've got a lot of help from a lot of people, so it's just a big group effort really to give these people a lot of the best life they can live, really.
Yeah, and I imagine for yourself, away from playing and training, it's something completely different that you get to do.
I think that's why footy's been so good for me this year, just because it's not all about footy. Even if you have a bad game, you got something else to focus on and something else to kind of work towards as well. And I think that's really helped me on the field as well, because away from the field you're happy because you're doing something you're passionate about. So yeah.
Oh, definitely. And in terms of No Limits, I mean, where can people, if they want to get involved, if they, they want to contact you, where's the best place to do that in terms of, website or on social media? Give us your handles.
So we're just on No Limits Limited and Facebook and Instagram.
Yep.
So we could just be contacted through there or through your local council, really, because we operate in Kirklees. Kirklees is our biggest council that we have service users through, and then Leeds Council. And then, like I said, we're Corey's just about to open up Sheffield Council. So, just through Facebook or Instagram or through your local council to get in contact with us.
Yeah. And in terms of the future, as you said, you're opening up in Sheffield. Have you got other sort of locations or cities that you want to target?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like Manchester, Liverpool, London, obviously the big sporting hubs. You know, we want to access not just rugby players, but, you know, football players, netball players,
yep.
you know, Olympic athletes. Because I think it's just such a, you know, it's a good, you know, like I said, with sport, it just opens up so many doors. So it doesn't matter what sport it is, you know, because sport's such a massive thing in our, you know, society, our communities. So, yeah, we want to try and take it everywhere, really. So, yeah, that's our goal. We've got big plans. We've got big kind of like aspirations for No Limits to go everywhere, really.
Yeah, and you're obviously, you know, giving something back to the community away from the professional sporting side, which is, you know, that's so special.
Yeah, well, it's like, when I first started working as a support worker, you know, a long time ago, it's just a passion, so I didn't really feel like work, really. It's just something that kind of suited to my personality, so it's, yeah, it feels nice to be able to not change someone's life, but just, you know, kind of help them open doors for them to change their life and, you know, give them, help them live a, you know, happy life.
Yeah, no, it's great. Well, I think, you know, urge all our listeners to go out and have a look at the stuff that you're doing on Instagram and Facebook. Yeah. You really see you know, the impact that you have on with the clients, you know, the experiences and their, you know, their reactions. It's sort of giving them the, you know, the life that everyone else kind of, I guess, experiences and take for granted.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, like I said before, our service users, they've been to, you know, Premier League games, they've been World Cup games, they've, you know, done activities out in the community that they probably never thought they could even do.
Yeah.
Just through, like, our, you know, people like Corey, Mitch, these boys are playing, you know, footy on a Sunday on TV and then, you know, coming to support someone on Monday, taking them out to the gym or, you know, taking them to cinemas or, you know, real fun activities. So, yeah, it's really good.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, I really wish you obviously all the best with No Limits and obviously on the field with Sheffield this year. You know, it's going to be a very exciting end to the championship, and, you know, we could see the Eagles back in Super League.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. Yeah, that's the goal.
Yeah. Well, as I said, really appreciate your time tonight, Bailey. Thanks for the chat, and in terms of the podcast, we're on iTunes, on Spreaker and Spotify and all the usual podcast providers, and we'll be back with another episode soon.